When he wasn't sleeping, drinking, talking on the phone, or playing his guitar, he was loitering at a nearby Walmart, his source for beer and cigarettes. But something happened, an incident, and he was asked to spend his time elsewhere. In those heady days of being on his own, he became fixated on repaying all those who'd loaned him money over the years. Saving money seemed like a ridiculous idea, and he began giving it away. He was moved by appeals on television, starving children, evangelists about to lose their entire ministries, and so on. He sent money. His telephone bills were enormous. He called Annette and Renee, Mark Barrett, Sarah Bonnell, Greg Wilhoit, the indigent defense system lawyers, Judge Landreth, Bruce Leiba, even some prison officials. He was usually upbeat, happy to be free, but by the end of every conversation, he was ranting about Ricky Joe Simmons. He was not impressed by the DNA trail left by Glenn Gore. Ron wanted Simmons arrested immediately for the rape by instrumentation and rape by forcible sodomy and murder of Deborah Sue Carter at her home at 1022 and a half East 8th Street, December the 8th, 1982. Every conversation included at least two recitations of this detailed demand. Oddly enough, Ron also called Peggy Stillwell, and the two developed a cordial relationship by phone. He assured her he had never met Debbie, and Peggy believed him. 18 years after losing her daughter, she was still unable to say goodbye. She confessed to Ron that for years she'd had a nagging suspicion that the murder was not really solved. As a general rule, he avoided bars and loose women, though one episode burned him. Walking down the street, tending to his own business, a car with two ladies stopped, and he got in. They went out for a round of bar hopping. The night grew long, and they retired to his trailer, where one of his companions found his stash of cash under his bed. When he later discovered the theft of $1,000, he swore off women altogether. Michael Hudson was his only friend in Springfield, and he encouraged his nephew to buy a guitar and taught him a few chords. Michael checked on him regularly and reported to his mother. The drinking was getting worse. The booze and his medications did not mix well, and he became extremely paranoid. The sight of a police car provoked serious attacks of anxiety. He refused to even jaywalk, thinking the cops were always watching. Peterson and the Ada police were up to something. He taped newspapers over the windows, padlocked his doors, then taped them too from the inside. He slept with a butcher's knife. Mark Barrett visited him twice and slept over. He was alarmed at Ron's condition, his paranoia and drinking, and he was particularly worried about the knife. Ron was lonely and terrified.